Book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Today we begin a new study. A study that I thought I would begin on Sunday nights a couple years ago, and I discovered I can't really make it through books on Sunday night because we have a lot of other things that happen on Sunday night and there's too many breaks. So this week, as I was looking and I was thinking, and it took me a lot of the week, but the Lord brought me here. And I'm excited about this study because this study is a little deeper than, you know, if we're not real careful, we get into the you be good, I'll be good, and we'll all hold hands and go to heaven together, right? We get very shallow. Hebrews is not a shallow book, nor do I want it to be a shallow book. I want to know more about my Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to know Him more deeply than I have ever known Him before. And that's my personal goal in this study. Maybe I'm preaching this series of messages perhaps more for me than for you. But I pray that you do glean the treasures that are found in this book. Let's stand. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Title of the message today, it's all about Jesus. Verse 1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His person, and the express image of His person. I'm sorry, let's go back to the first part. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we approach Your throne of grace, rejoicing in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for the sacrifice that was made on our behalf upon the cross of Calvary. Thank You, Jesus, for giving Your life for unworthy sinners such as us. Today we praise You and we thank You. We give You all glory and praise for the salvation that You have given us and made available to all who will call upon You. Now, Lord, teach us from Your word. We want to submit to You, surrender our lives to You, give You our hearts, our minds, and our all. Now teach us, Lord, Your ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Book of Hebrews is, of course, written to the Jews, and it was written to combat the distraction that the Jewish people would allow into the church through their traditions. You know, they had been saved by the grace of God, but it would be easy for the Jews to try to mix their old traditions in with the salvation by grace through faith. And so the writer here of Hebrews is trying to draw the attention of the Jews, the Hebrews, upon their faith and their faith in Jesus Christ, and therefore because of that distraction or those distractions, the writer emphasizes that Jesus is just better. Have you realized that yet? I mean, that is a deep theological statement. Jesus is better. Whatever you want to put in front, He's better than. Jesus is better. He's better than the angels, He's better than Moses, He's better than Joshua, He's better than the priest and Aaron. Jesus is just better. And the whole idea is that you understand the importance of who Jesus Christ is. That we today, even us today, that we are absolutely sold out to the absolute importance of Jesus Christ. Even in churches today, we lose sight of Jesus. I mean, we get to thinking about being Baptist. Are you Baptist? Two people are Baptist here. Nothing wrong with being Baptist. But sometimes we let the Baptist overshadow being a blood-bought child of God through Jesus Christ. We let associations overshadow. We let everything, if we're not real careful, our youth programs, seniors ministries, class, anything can push Jesus to the side. And so the goal of this study is to put Jesus in His rightful place as Lord of lords and King of kings. For there is no other name given among men whereby men must be saved. What I want you to get is it's all about Jesus. And the goal of this message today is that you come to know Jesus deeper than you've ever known Him before. That's our prayer. And we start with God's message. God's message. Do you realize God has always had a desire to communicate with mortal man? Now imagine how big that is when you consider who we are, right? I mean, let's face it, we're nobody. And the God, the creator of this universe, wants to communicate with you as an individual. You see, in times past, it says in the text that we read, in times past that God had spoken at various times in various ways, meaning that God has always spoken to men. All the way back to the Garden of Eden, we're reminded how Adam and Eve would walk in the cool of the day and talk with God, and how that in the days of Moses, God appeared to Moses and spoke to him in the burning bush or through a burning bush. How God spoke to Abraham by angelic messengers, and God spoke to Daniel through visions, and God even spoke to the prophet Balaam through a donkey. I mean, God has always had a message to get to man. God has always had a desire for us to hear from God. And He's never, ever tried to hide Himself, saying, "Find me if you can." You see, God, from the very beginning, has wanted that personal communication relationship with you and with all of mankind. And listen, if there was ever a time we needed that, we needed to hear from God, it's today. Right? Do you realize that God is still speaking, right? And it's just as real as the burning bush before God appeared in before Moses. I've often thought, today, in this present time, how I would love to hear from God. Have you ever thought, wow, Moses had to be the luckiest guy in the world as he went up on that mountain and stood in front of that burning bush and heard, I mean literally heard, the voice of God. Can you imagine? Doug, take off your shoes, for the ground where you stand is holy. What would you do? I'd take off my shoes. I've thought, boy, that would be wonderful to hear God say, "Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And God speaking on Mount Sinai to Moses in power and glory, it had to be a sight. Man, I've thought today, boy, I'd love to hear God speak. I've never heard God speak verbally, literally. Oh, He's spoken to my heart. He's spoken inside me. And listen, it's just as real as if you were to speak to me. But I have never literally heard the voice of God. I've often thought, boy, I'd like to. I would like to. I would like for God, to tap me on the shoulder, let's say, on Thursday, and especially during weeks when study is difficult, I would love for God to tap me on the shoulder and say, "Doug, you begin a new study in the book of Hebrews." But God doesn't operate that way today. You see, in times past, He appeared in burning bushes and in visions, but today, He's spoken to you and I through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, would you just stop and think about that? You know, people want to be excited about God. Do you want to be excited about God? Do you want to hear from God where you know this came from God? Okay? Don't look for a vision. Don't look for a burning bush. Don't look for all that. That's times past. Today, God has spoken through His Son, Jesus Christ. And you know what He said? Matthew 11:28. Come unto Me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. For My yoke is easy and My burden's light. If we're ever living in a time when the world needs an answer, it is here and now. People need to hear that invitation from God. Come unto Me. People are struggling. They're afraid. They're confused. They're hanging their hat on everything in this world they can possibly trust in and ignoring the message that has come from God. Come unto Me, you who are weary and heavy laden. The message that came from Jesus Himself, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Have you understood? Do you understand Jesus wants you to have a good life? And I can tell you, the good life is not money, it's not status, it's not the house that you live in or the car you drive. The good life is when you know that Jesus Christ is living within, and no matter what happens on the outside, you know and have peace that passes all understanding on the inside. You see, this is what God is saying to man today. He's spoken through His Son, Jesus Christ, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Me. If you want that peace, if you want that salvation, it's only going to come through Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought, if I only had, and you fill in the blank, if I only had more money, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered if I have $5, I wish I had 10. If I had 10, I wished I had 20. If I had 20, I wished I had 100. It never satisfies. Why? Because material things will never fill that need, that yearning, and that longing inside your soul. Only Jesus. Even to the point that there is salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. Listen, don't you want to be able to walk out of here today with the full knowledge that if you do not live to see another day, that you're going to heaven? Don't you need to know that? Acts 4:12, God's message, there's not salvation in any other, nor is there any other name given among men whereby men must be saved. God's talking, and He's talked through Jesus. And it's just as real as the burning bush. I kind of butchered the text this morning while I was reading. I don't know why I couldn't read it this morning, but I couldn't. But do you realize that when you read the Word of God, and even here in the book of Hebrews, He has in the last days spoken by His Son. This is from God. You have literally heard from the God of this universe as you read this book through Jesus Christ. First thing, I want you to understand that God has a message. And you're not going to get that message any other way apart from Jesus Christ. Second thing I want you to do, I want you to meet God's messenger. God's messenger, as it said in verse 2, the Son of God. That the Son, Jesus Christ, has been appointed heir of all things. You realize that Jesus, as the Son of God, is entitled to everything that the Heavenly Father has. The entire estate. Have you ever inherited anything? Or maybe you're in line to inherit something. Jesus is in line to inherit this universe from God the Father. Listen, as the Son of God, here's what I want you to understand. Everything belongs to Him. Everything. And if you can establish that point in your life this morning, I promise you, you'll leave here a better person. When you realize, yes, this world belongs to Jesus. The universe belongs to Jesus, but not just this world, the universe. You belong to Jesus. And Jesus is coming back to take what is rightfully His. Do you understand that? I mean, do you really believe that? Jesus is coming again. Psalms 110 verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, right now is seated at the right hand of the Father. And He is waiting for that command that says, Son, go get my children. And then that angel will shout. The trumpet will sound and Jesus Christ will give the word, come up here, and every child of God will leave this earth in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to meet Jesus in the air. Oh, listen, my friends, I want you to understand today, Jesus is the Son of God and it all, including us, belongs to Him. And He, Jesus, of course, again, in the text, is the brightness of His glory. The brightness of the glory of God. Listen, do you ever just sit and think about God? Sit and think about this statement. He's the brightness of the glory of God. And what that word brightness, it refers to the Shekinah glory of God that would have dwelt in the tabernacle in the Old Testament. And He's just saying Jesus is that Shekinah glory of God. It's hard to describe, but it's like this. Have you ever seen the sun? Actually, you haven't. Right? I'm going to let you chew on that just a minute. You have never seen the sun. Why? Because the sun is approximately 93 million miles from this earth. And some of you have pretty good vision, but I don't think any of you can get 93 million miles. Right? What do you see? You see the light that is emitted from the sun. It takes approximately eight and a half minutes for that light to leave the sun and get to the earth. So you're just seeing the light that happened eight and a half minutes ago. But the really interesting thing is you've never seen the sun, but you've seen the light that is emitted by the sun. Now, if you take the light that is emitted by the sun away, can you see the sun? No. If you take the sun away, can you see the light? Absolutely not. Requires both, does it not? You can't separate the two. Without the sun, there's no light. Without the light, there is no sun. That's the way with the Father and the Son, which says He's the brightness of the glory of God. First, we try to separate Jesus from God. He is God. Okay? Jesus is God. He's God's message to mankind. That's why the book of John calls Him the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Jesus is the illumination of the glory of the Father, and He is such a part of the Father that you cannot take one away and have the other one. See, this is what I want you to understand about Jesus. This is why when you walk out of here, I want you to realize that Jesus is God. That's what these first three verses says. We want to put Jesus in that second place role. Jesus is not in second place. Jesus is God. And He is the express image of His purpose, of His person. The express image That word image, interesting, it's where we get the word character. That Jesus is an exact character, or it's actually a term that would be used to stamp an imprint. Like if you were to imprint money, you know, like on the face of a quarter, that inscription on the face of a quarter. In the Bible days, they would stamp that. They would stamp that into the coin. So as you see Jesus today, He is an exact representation of who God is. If you want to know God, it's going to happen only through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, verse 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. John 19:30, I and my Father are one. Only Jesus Himself could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know God, you have to go through Jesus. That's why in the world of religion today, the world is that we're all just trying to get to the same place and we're all serving the same God. No, sir. If you don't go through Jesus, you don't go to God. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying here. You've got to go through the Son before you can get to God the Father. And if you want to know what God is like, if you've ever just sat around and wondered, I wonder what God was like. I wonder how He feels. I wonder what He thinks. Look at Jesus. He is exact representation of God the Father before mankind. Jesus on this earth was God's message to you and I. This is who I am. This is what I think. This is how I feel. I want you to understand again that Jesus is God in every sense of the word. We hesitate, you know? He's God, but no, there's no buts. Jesus is God. Then finally, I want you to understand the work of God's messenger. It says, once again in the text, that He upholds all things. And that word uphold, it does not mean to carry on one's back like you would think of carrying something around. It means to carry from one place to the other. Jesus upholds all things. Jesus is the God who guides this universe into its divinely ordained destiny. Jesus is guiding all things today. Do you get this? Okay, it's what it means. Understand, there is a plan. And this plan is playing out to perfection. Do you ever worry? None of us ever worry, do we? You know, sometimes we look and we think, man, where's this country going? My goodness, we're in a mess. Don't people know what God wants? Don't people know what's right and wrong anymore? You know, but the reality is, don't get too concerned with it. Don't become overly concerned with it. Why? Because it is playing out according to the divine plan of God. Okay? When I say don't be concerned, yes, let's pray for revival. Yes, let's preach the word. But the bottom line is this. God knows where this world is, and He knows where it's headed. And there is a plan. Things aren't falling apart. They're falling into place. I'm almost to that point. I can't tell you exactly what will happen. Okay? And that's not an almost. I can't. I can't tell you who's going to win the election. I know who should win the election. But I don't know who. I can't tell you what this country is going to look like a year from now. I cannot tell you if the economy is going to fail. or what's going to happen with this recession that's going on, or even with this disease that we're facing today. I can't tell you what's going to happen, but I can tell you what's coming. Are you ready? Jesus Christ is coming. Right? Jesus Christ is coming. And it could be today, and I'm more convinced we're closer than we've ever been, you know. I'm watching, I'm looking, I'm expecting, and I have the attitude, even so, come, Lord Jesus. But then I'm kind of torn because I know there are still people here who need to be saved. And I know if we hear that trumpet right now, if we hear that shout right now, and we're raptured up as we believe it's going to occur before the tribulation period, when that happens, those people who have rejected Jesus in the past, they're in for a world of hurt. If you think you're going to wait until that happens, and if we see the church leave, well, I'm going to repent and be saved. No, you're not. According to 2 Thessalonians, you're going to be spent strong delusion, and you're going to believe the lies of the Antichrist. That's why the message is so very important today. You have to understand who Jesus is. But to get back on track, I know how it's going to end. That trumpet's going to sound. We, the church, are going to leave this world to meet Jesus in the air. This world will then be left to a tribulation period. After the 7-year tribulation period, we will move to a 1,000-year reign of Christ. Can you imagine ruling and reigning with Christ? There will be no demonstrations. There will be no voting. There will be no opinion. Jesus Christ will rule in righteousness, and what a day that will be when people no longer advertise their sin for all humanity to view. I want you to know that Jesus is in control. As I said, I don't know what this country's going to look like a year from now. I fear we've gone too far, I'll be honest with you. But I don't know. I don't know that. But I do know that you can see the signs of His coming everywhere you look. Jesus Christ is directing everything to that point when the rapture of His church takes place. That's the next thing I'm looking for. He's upholding, carrying all things. He, Jesus Christ, by Himself has purged us from our sins, purified us. Listen, and I love this part. He, by Himself, there in verse 3. He, by Himself. You know what that means? Jesus plus nothing has delivered you from your sins. There's nothing more that's needed, nothing more that can be added. Listen, do you completely, everybody here, just give me your attention for just one moment, okay? Do you understand you're going to heaven 100% because of what Jesus Christ did upon the cross of Calvary for you? You understand that? It's not by your good. There's none good. No, not one. Brother Doug, I'm as good as anybody else. That makes you as bad as everybody else. Right? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You understand why is Jesus so special? It was Jesus by Himself that paid my sin debt upon the cross of Calvary and caused my sins to be cast as far as east is from the west, so that today I can go into the throne room of God and God does not see a poor sinner. He sees a righteous child of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I say that because there are so many that don't get that. For by grace you have been saved. Through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Get it, get this, put it down big, plain, and straight. Jesus by Himself has been and is your avenue to heaven. Not because you're a good person, not because you're better than anybody, but because Jesus shed His blood upon the cross of Calvary for you. Who is this Jesus? He saved us through His sacrifice. Upholds all things. He purged our sins. And finally, He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty. I love this part. You know, there's some things that I can't change. You can like or you can dislike the President of the United States, but you know what you can't do? You can't make him not be the President of the United States. Donald Trump is still the President of the United States. We've got an election coming up. After that election, however that election comes out, I pray that I'm trying to figure out how to say this, you know. After that election, I pray that the person who should be elected is elected. I know he will be. And I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but I will tell you this, vote God. I'm going to take a break for a minute, okay? Let's get over here. As a child of God, you cannot vote for a candidate who supports abortion. You said, Brother Doug, you shouldn't tell me how to vote. I'm not telling you how to vote. I'm telling you what to vote. I'm not giving you a candidate. I'm giving you a biblical principle. Okay? If he supports abortion, you as a child of God should not support him. Okay? So you make your choice beyond that. If he supports tearing down marriage, as marriage being between one man and one woman, if that's the support foundation, you have no business voting for that man. Okay? You have no business voting for a man that would promote homosexuality or transgender or whatever else they come up with today. Okay? Do not support a man such as that. Why? Because we have been given a better way. Now let's get back on track. Whoever is elected come November will be the president. And there's nothing I can do about it. Right? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Creator, the Maker of this universe. He is God who came to this earth in the flesh. And He is God who today is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And there is nothing that this world can do about that fact. You can't stop it. You can fight against it all you want. But right now, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And Romans chapter 8 verse 34 says it is Christ who died and furthermore also is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Do you know why He's seated at the right hand of God? First of all, because He's earned that position. And it is the place of honor. But secondly, He's seated at the right hand of God to make intercession to God the Father for you. Kind of brings us back to where we started. God has always wanted to communicate with man. And He set up this system of this opportunity of communication. Jesus is sitting there and now you can call out to God the Father, and instead of God looking at you and seeing a no good sinner, He looks at you through the blood of Jesus Christ being purged from your sin, washed white as snow, and He looks at you as His child saying, "Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you." God is waiting to hear from you. Jesus seated there is your representative before the Father. And now today, you've got to decide what you're going to do with it. Again, I find it interesting. So the world can fight all they want to, but they can't dethrone God. They can't dethrone Jesus Christ. They cannot stop Jesus from coming again. They cannot stop Jesus' judgment from being passed upon this world. They cannot stop the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. They cannot stop anything. Okay? Knowing what you know. Knowing what you know about Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with Him? Seated at the right hand of the Father, He's there waiting to hear from you. Can you imagine? When you've got a position like that, but you never hear from the person that you're there to represent. How sad that would be. I mean, let's face it, we all know it's who you know, right? It's all about who you know. It's the connections. And you know how that works in the world. There's just some people that you listen to more than others because they have connections, they have contacts. Do you realize that you have a representative at the right hand of God there for you that says, "Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, come. You do not have to live this way. You do not have to let sin control your life. You do not have to be consumed by this world because you have a representative, Jesus Christ, the right hand of God." Are you going to use that representative and call? Are you going to come? Are you going to be saved? Are you, there are a lot of people I've heard numerous times. I've heard people say, "Well, one of these days, Brother Doug, one of these days, are you kidding me? Don't you see what sin is doing to your life? Don't you see what living without Jesus is doing to you as well as others around you? Don't you know that if you were to die today, you would not go to heaven, but rather would spend eternity in hell, and you want to put it off? Listen, the one thing that I know is that I have called upon Jesus Christ, and I know where I'm going. I don't know when, but I know where." Don't walk out of here without exercising and calling upon your representative at the right hand of the Father. Walk out of here knowing that Jesus Christ is God. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus. And we thank You for the representation that we have at Your throne. We thank You that You're mindful of us. I pray, Lord, that Your will be done in this service. I pray, Lord, that You will move among us in a mighty way. That You will draw all men to You. That, Lord, I pray that those in this service today who are lost, I pray that today's the day that they'll call upon You for salvation. Lord, move among us. Help us to realize the gravity of the day in which we live. And help us, Lord, to draw near to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.